Welcome to Ruby Rider's Peggy in Paradise podcast number 144 on October 1st, 2016. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you would like to be a part of my quest to spread the word about pegging all over the world, consider becoming a patron of mine. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help. Patreon.com/RubyRider or click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. And a little update. Right now, I am most of the way to my very first goal of $250 a month. You people are awesome out there, and you have pledged $190 a month. And the video shorts that I spoke about, those are in the works, so stuff is happening. I wanted to extend my thanks, and I'm actually going to be asking you, all of you patrons, if I can thank you personally on air, so to speak. So I'm going to send out an email right at the same time that I post this podcast asking for permission and how you would like to be referred to. So there you have it. Thanks again. In other news, my class on October 9th in Long Beach has early bird ticket prices attached to it. So if you are a California person and were thinking about coming to my class, that price is going to change to the early bird price on October 1st. The class itself is October 9th at 2 p.m. for the beginning class and 3:30 for the advanced. It is at Tiffany Yelverton's in Long Beach. The link for that is going to be on my Linkorama. Okay, next thing. I have an announcement. From now on, I am going to read your first name when you send me the emails. So here's the deal. If you write in to me, you need to know that when I read your email, I'm going to say, this is from Dan, or this is from Bob, or this is from whoever, right? If you don't want your name mentioned, then when you sign your message, choose a pseudonym or a different name. If you're Bob, call yourself Bill. Or give me a creative alternative, like Curious in California, Longing in London, or something like that. I find that I want to personalize your emails, but it kind of freaks me out because I'm sort of rabid about keeping you guys' identities anonymous. So I would like to have a nice in-between. The contact form on my website, which many of you use to write me, I altered that and put this message up to let people know that when they send the messages, there's a good chance I'm going to be reading it on the podcast and that I will be using their first name or however they sign their message. So if you have any huge objections to that, the only thing you need to do is to say, please don't share my name. And then I'll read it and say, this is from Anonymous or something like that. You could also just put your location. This one's from Texas. This one's from whatever city you live in as well. You're welcome to do that because it's not that I want to share your first name with the world. It's that I want some sort of personalization so that when people write me back about something I said, like, hey, when you talk to that guy who was really interested in the chastity thing, it gives me one more point of reference when they say, so, you know, the guy in Florida on podcast number such and such. That helps me out a little bit. Comments are welcome about this change. I'm not going to institute it on this podcast, clearly, because I don't have permission from anybody and they were not warned. It'll be a gradual process. And if you all hate it, just let me know and I'll keep it the way it is. Okay. And speaking of feedback from a previous podcast subject, I kind of waxed poetic or maybe even complained just a little bit about the difficulty in using proper pronouns on a previous podcast. And my friend in Houston, Texas, called me up and suggested that instead of using pronouns, how about using the word pegger and peggy, or giver and receiver? I really like these ideas. Thank you, John. John is someone that I still plan on doing an interview with. He started the first successful pegging munch. And what I mean by that is people who are interested in pegging and usually are a part of the BDSM community, because that's where the word munch comes from. It just means a social get-together in a public place. There's no fetish wear, there's no kink, there's no nothing. It's just like a social. So he started one specifically on the subject of pegging, and it was quite successful, and I've talked about it in previous podcasts. So if you're listening, John, yes, I will be calling you one of these Mondays, and we'll do that interview. So I like these ideas, John. Giver and receiver I like more than anything. So when I teach my classes, I think I'm going to switch that over a bit, and I might put it in my writing. It'll be a gradual thing, but I appreciate the suggestions. Okay, so this is a series of emails exchanged back and forth between a guy and I, and he was asking about really small dildos to use for pegging. And I figured that this information could be of use to all of you out there, so I'm just going to read these to you. Hey Ruby, I'm just getting into pegging and I was wondering if there was a smaller toy than the Tantus Beginner or the Fuse Velvet. I'm a really small guy with an even smaller butt. I'm also wondering if the Fuse Velvet and Tantus Beginner are compatible with the spare parts harness, because the harness O-ring is 1.25 inches and the Tantus and Velvet are 1 inch in diameter. And I wrote back and said, what I would recommend for you is using a small butt plug instead of a dildo. Tantus makes the, quote, little flirt, end quote, which it appears they're doing a closeout on. And I put the link there. It is 0.8 inches at the widest. Your 1.25 O-ring should hold it in the harness because the base is wider. If it moves around too much, you can get a stabilizer ring, and then I put the link for that. He writes back, are you suggesting I use the little flirt as a way to warm up before pegging for the first time? Or are you suggesting to use the little flirt with the spacer for pegging? And I wrote back, flirt with the spacer for pegging because you implied that the Tantus small is still too big, and it is 0.9 inches. And he writes back, thanks, Ruby. I appreciate the information. I'll give it a try. And then has other questions. Is it easier to have a hands-free orgasm using a toy with a curve at the end? And another question, are there toys designed for pegging that are specifically for that kind of orgasm? As always, I greatly appreciate your knowledge and advice. And I said, yeah, there are toys like that, but they're larger. So then he writes back, do they work? And I told him, you know, some men love them and some men don't. Another question, are there any health risks involved in that kind of stimulation? No, in fact, it's good for your prostate. And then he says, can someone smaller work up to using something that large comfortably? Yes, absolutely. It just takes time. So even though he's a small man with a small ass, you can absolutely work up to the bigger sizes. And when you say big, they might seem a lot bigger to you. I don't know how much ass play you've actually done. I don't know how much you've experimented, or whether you're just a little bit nervous about the whole you're small and your ass is small. Because before you buy something really tiny, it might be a good idea just to explore a little bit. Because in this back and forth that we had, I was assuming that you'd actually done some self-play and that you know that you're really tight, really small, so you're looking for the smallest you can get, right? Because I think the reason that Tantus is doing a closeout on the little flirt is because nobody buys them because they're just really, really, really small. And one of the things that I say in my class is if you're going to buy a toy the size of your finger, why not just use your finger? So there's that to think about, too. You can use gloves if you want to keep your fingers clean, but that is actually a really, really small toy. And I know that there's people out there who love it, but there's not that many because the ass can accommodate to that pretty easily. If you think about it this way, you're probably having bowel movements that are bigger than this butt plug that you're talking about. But if what you're really looking for is something to use for pegging that is that small, then that's what I would suggest. Just because you're a small guy with a small ass doesn't mean you have a really tight ass, okay? And this is what I regret not talking with you about in our messages. So I'm going to send a message to you and let you know that this is on the podcast so you can hear the additional information. Unless you've done some self-exploration and know that you have a tight ass, I think the little flirt might be a little bit too small for you. And the Velvet would be the perfect size. It really would. And the thing about the Velvet is it's got that wonderful spot for the vibe, so you can get the wee vibe tango, and your partner can have a fabulous time with it. Yeah, those are the things I would recommend. If you haven't done self-play, do that before you spend the money on the toys, because you might be buying something out of fear or concern that you're a small guy, and it could be that your ass is just fine with something an inch in diameter. And if you're not sure about measurements, measure the finger that you're putting inside of yourself and see what the diameter of that is. So that's the best advice I have for you. And the links of things that I mentioned are going to be in the Linkorama. Let us know how it goes. Okay, so I heard back from the woman in our last podcast, number 143, who tried pegging, didn't like it, and was really in a quandary about how to deal with it in her relationship. So here's what she wrote. Thank you so much for your response. Your advice and sympathy has totally been a saving grace. I read the other links you sent, and those also helped me a lot. The parts in your blog post on pegging 101 about how maybe it interests him more than a vagina and that the orgasms are 10 times more powerful really brought up some emotions in me. Honestly, right after I sent you that last message, I was so emotional that I hid all of my boyfriend's toys from him and let him think I threw them away. Now, I can recognize how irrational and unhealthy of a reaction that was, but I was just so emotional at the time. I was filled with jealousy of my boyfriend's sex toys. Even just typing that now feels so ridiculous. I haven't really doubted if my boyfriend is sexually attracted to me, but he's been fairly open with me since early in our relationship about how pleasurable anal play is. After my attempts at playing with him in the bedroom failed, I knew that he continued playing with himself on his own, which didn't really bother me in the beginning. But his drawer full of numerous various anal toys kind of taunted me after a while. I guess they reminded me that my boyfriend gets 10 times more pleasure using those toys than any of the non-prostate orgasms he has when he is with me. He tried to reassure me that he really enjoys the sex we have, but he would also talk about how great the prostate orgasms are. It began feeling like this thing high up on a pedestal that I could never reach. I started feeling guilty that I couldn't give him the orgasm he really wanted, so I began constantly watching pegging porn. I had hoped that if I watched it enough, it would eventually start to turn me on. As it turns out, sexuality doesn't quite work that way. I tried to open up the dialogue again with my boyfriend last Saturday, and he reiterated how big of a deal anal play is to him. He also seemed pretty convinced I would eventually come around to being okay with it. He further mentioned that last week he had experienced the Anero superorgasm, cue throwing away all of his toys and desperately searching the internet for an answer. I have since returned my boyfriend's toys and apologized for the immature act. Honestly, reading your email really snapped me back to reality. In the same way he should respect my preferences, I should also be respectful of his. We had a much more productive discussion about everything last night. He realized from our conversation that he had been very selfish about this particular aspect of his sexuality. He also felt more threatened than I had realized about my negative feelings towards it. I think that we should be able to reach some sort of a compromise, and I realize now that it doesn't have to be something I have to figure out all on my own. I think the suggestions in your email will be a really good starting point for that discussion. Obviously, one conversation won't fix several years of built-up emotions, but it does finally feel like we are acknowledging the giant elephant in the room, and that is a huge relief. I will definitely be listening to your podcast this week. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to read and respond to my message. You really are awesome. Your sympathy has made me feel much less alienated in regards to my feelings, and your advice has been truly helpful. Seriously, can't thank you enough. Now, the reason she mentions email is because this was an emotional enough and an intense enough message to get that I shot her an email really quickly with the bullet points about what I talked about in the podcast and let her know that I'm going to talk about this in the podcast, but here's what I have to say about it. So she was responding to that with this message, and she had not listened to the podcast yet. So I wrote her back and said, "Happy to help and to receive your update. Yes, I'm so glad the avenues of communication have been opened up. There's nothing worse than elephants lying around in rooms and people stepping on them. I'll have the podcast up tomorrow late. One more suggestion regarding compromise, and I mentioned this in my podcast. Consider using mojoupgrade.com to discover a wealth of other sexual activities that could take the focus off of choosing either vanilla or pegging. Might help to ease things a bit, refocus, find areas of sexual commonality instead of focusing on the conflict. You know, there are men who feel quite threatened by the masturbatory toys their female partners use too. You are not the only one to feel insecure because your partner's sex toys, and in the end, it's just a toy. When your boyfriend says he really enjoys the sex you two have, I'd believe him. Let go of that 10 times thing. Personally, I can give myself far more intense orgasms than any partners I've ever had, but I still love sex with partners. A person can have orgasms that send them to the moon, but there's no toy that can replace a warm, sexy, willing, and loving person in bed. Good job on returning the toys and apologizing. I'm so glad he realized that he was acting selfishly. I really hope you two can work it out. So she listened to the podcast and then wrote back with this. I listened to your podcast this afternoon. Thank you for being such a source of comfort, encouragement, and wisdom. I feel like society makes it so hard to talk openly about the difficult, or dare even taboo, parts of our sexuality. But that makes so many of us have to struggle with things like bedroom desires and difficulties alone. So again, I can't even tell you how much your advice has helped. Me and my boyfriend visited Mojo Upgrade, and we already have had a lot of fun this week as a result. We have already played with him dominating me, having him watch and masturbate while I rode a suction cup dildo, letting him come on my face. I do think taking the topic of pegging completely off the table has allowed me to exhale, finally. I had completely shut down about anything kinky or experimental, because inevitably the conversation would just lead to pegging. So fantastic suggestion. We now have a very long list of things to play with. As far as compromise goes, we are talking about buying a vibrating butt plug and maybe playing with some dominance and chastity. I looked into a sex worker situation, but unfortunately I work in an industry where I can't risk being even remotely involved in anything illegal. Thus, I think we'd have to make a trip to Nevada. Although if you know of any brothels out there that have a good reputation, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to paying and watching. The rocker is also an option, although I don't know we'd really have anywhere to store it, the joys of apartment living. However, he has expressed interest in a sex machine in the past, which might be a little more reasonable space-wise. I was thinking of maybe buying him the F-Machine Gigolo Mini. Do you know anyone that has used that brand/model for anal? I like that particular model because it has a wireless remote, which could allow us to experiment with me maybe being in the room and being in control without necessarily being connected to the dildo. Thank you again for everything. I look forward to listening to your next podcast. Wow, I'm so grateful for everything you wrote back, because not only is it lovely to hear all the good news, but you got really detailed. And this helps out so many other people that are listening. This is so awesome. So what I'm hearing in your last letter is actually that you do have a little bit of maybe watching or a little bit of control thing with the remote thing that you're interested in, which is great news, because that way you could be part of it without actually literally being a part of it. Like you mentioned that you wouldn't be opposed to watching. That was a surprise to me to read. That's awesome. Unfortunately, I do not know of any brothels out there. I'm sure there's some great ones. You could probably look it up on Yelp even. Do brothels advertise on Yelp? Anyway, leaving that aside, it's such good news that you two went to Mojo Upgrade and now you're having fun with sex again. Because that's the thing, you know, when it gets to the point where it's not fun and it's all difficult and there's conflict, sex becomes a not fun thing anymore. And it's like, ugh, we don't even want to do this because every time we do it, there's this thing that happens. So good for you for going there and finding a list of things and having some fun with that list. I love the ones that you mentioned already, having him watch and masturbate while I rode a suction cup dildo. That sounds really hot. So good for you both. And tell him I give him major kudos for realizing that he'd been a bit selfish in his approach before. I give you both major kudos for your ability to communicate and be real with each other at this point, because it's so important. I do not know of anyone who has used that particular fucking machine. Anybody listening who has it, please write in. Let us know how you like it. So if that information comes, I'd be happy to share it. The wireless remote idea, you know. So the remote thing, you know, I definitely have my control desires. I love being in control. And I also love knowing that I can just, with the flick of a switch, have him squirming around because I've got that wireless remote, and whether he's positioned in front of a fucking machine, which I don't own, more often it's in my world, it's a remote control butt plug. That is just so such a fun thing. And as I mentioned briefly before in a previous podcast when I did a review of the B Vibe, which I'll put the link to that in the Linkorama, the idea of covert public stimulation just thrills me. It really, really does. It's like, oh, let's see if you can keep your composure while we're in this restaurant, while I turn this butt plug on and off. I love that. I love the test of seeing if they can keep it together, right? So even if it's not in public and it's in private, just the idea where he could be walking around the house and boom, you could hit that remote. That could be so fun. Overall, I am so proud of both of you. Thank you for writing in, and thank you both for sharing so much, for being willing to allow me to read all this. This is an awesome story. And feel free to send any more updates on how it goes and what you figured out, because this is an area that does not get enough attention. I know that there are women out there who don't at all like the idea of pegging. And if there is some in-between type of activities, suggestions that we can give them, which in this situation with these letters back and forth, I think that anyone listening who is in this situation has been given a whole bunch of ideas. The thing I want to emphasize is, don't think it's the end of a relationship. Sometimes it will be, sometimes it won't. And if you really want to work towards the sometimes it won't, because it's been a long-standing relationship, you're really in love, you want to stay with this person, then work hard to find the alternatives. Work hard to make it fun again, and work hard to find something that you both enjoy, even if it's not exactly what you both want. So good for you. Thanks again for writing in and for allowing me to share all this. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you. Okay, this is a very cool posting on Reddit that I found, and I asked the person who posted it if he would mind if I read it, and he gave me full permission. Today is the 2-year anniversary of my first time ever being pegged by my wife, or as she was then, girlfriend. It's been an amazing journey, and definitely one that I never thought I would go down. If you told me before then that me getting fucked up the arse by my girlfriend would become a key part of our sex life and our relationship in general, I'd have thought you were out of your mind. But now, I really can't imagine life without it. Anyway, in looking back over the last 2 years, I recalled that before I agreed to be pegged for the first time, I'd drawn up a list of absolute boundaries for my girlfriend. She'd had plenty of pegging experience and had been pushing for us to try it, but I was a very reluctant peggee. I'd barely even had a fingertip up my arse before I'd met her. So this was the only way I'd agree to it. The list went as follows. It makes me laugh now, but I was totally serious at the time. And then I'm going to read these bullet points. Nothing longer than 4.5 inches. Nothing that looks like a cock. Nothing that's been in your ex's arse. She had said she had kept some of the dildos when they split up. No more than 5 minutes. No more than once a month. Nothing gay, parentheses. This was a big worry for me, stupid as that seems now. I stay on top. I stay on top. You don't get dominant just because you have strap on. No humiliation. I don't come while anything is up my arse. I get to fuck you any way I want, straight after. Nobody ever gets told I let you do this. So those are the bullet points. And he goes on to say, I actually put off our first session for as long as I possibly could. When I first did it, I fully expected to utterly hate it, despite the tiny dildo that she was actually using. Only thing was that it felt great. Really great. So great, in fact, that I came profusely while being very gently fucked after only a few minutes, much to my embarrassment. The orgasm was like nothing I'd ever had before. So intense going right the way through my body. I literally ended up pleading with her not to make me wait a whole month to do it again. So 2 years later, I thought it was interesting to see how my list of demands has gone. The first bullet point, nothing longer than 4.5 inches. We're currently using a 6.5-inch dildo regularly, and she's used up to a 7.5-inch one on me on special occasions, and I know she's got even larger ones lined up. Second point, nothing that looks like a cock. All the dildos we use now are super realistic looking cocks with balls as well, and there's nothing that gets me going more than the feeling of the balls shoved right up against my butt so I can feel them. Nothing that's been in your ex's arse. I know the 7.5-inch one has been up her ex's arse, as she loves telling me while fucking me with it. Hell, she's even showed me the pictures. No more than 5 minutes. The only reason we've ever had that shortest session was because I couldn't control myself and came too soon, and now we frequently carry on, even after I come. No more than once a month, and all he writes here is, laugh out loud, nothing gay. Pegging isn't gay, I always tell myself. Having a man watch me getting pegged isn't gay, I tell myself. But she definitely wants to push the boundaries on this. I stay on top. Not so much. More bent over. You don't get dominant just because you have a strap on. When she puts on the strap on, I know my place is to be completely submissive. And frankly, even outside our sex life, I know my place. No humiliation. Having me eat my own cum, spanking, teasing, and taunting, restraints, etc., she finds humiliating me a total turn-on. I don't cum while anything is up my arse. Well, that didn't even last through our first session. I get to fuck you any way I want straight after. Sometimes I'll get to fuck her, but a lot of the time I don't, and the only way I'm allowed to fuck her now is with a butt plug up my arse. Nobody ever gets told I let you do this. I first found out she was discussing it with her girlfriends when one of them I know made a drunken reference to it to me only about a month after we'd started. I think I must have turned crimson. Now, there have been two other girls that have pegged me with my wife, including, embarrassingly, somebody who turned out to be a work colleague, and at least three others that have watched me getting pegged. Best pegging experience in the last 2 years was on my wedding night. Somehow I just expected that we'd have regular sex, but no. I ended up in the suite in the hotel room, still dressed in my bow tie and kilt outfit, parentheses, I'm Scottish, with my new wife, fucking my butthole balls deep with the 7.5-inch dildo for the first time, until I jazzed all over myself, and then some more, while one of the bridesmaids helped her film it. That bit didn't go in the wedding video. Such an amazing way to start our married life together. Here's to the 2 year. I don't know where that'll take me, but I know my wife has plenty of ideas. Things change, don't they? Goodness sakes. This was so awesome to read on Reddit, and it was written with such clarity and so forthcoming that I just had to share it with you. I really appreciate this man letting me share it, and I will be sending him an email to thank him for that. Just goes to show you that what you think it might be like is not necessarily what it will be like. And he certainly found that out in so many different ways. Goodness sakes, just about every single one is different. And clearly for the people listening who are concerned at all, the humiliation is consensual. He loves it. He's having a lovely time. This is all very clear. So I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you. Can't wait to hear the check-in at the 4 or 5 year point.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
Okay, here we go with another email. This one's great. Hi, Ruby. It happened last night. My first hands-free orgasm. Achievement Unlocked. It's been an interesting few months in our lives. In August, my wife and I took a trip to the Dominican without our kids to celebrate our 20th year of being married. I'd made it clear one of my desires was to be pegged in paradise, and my wife agreed. So I packed all the gear, including the new spare parts Jacques harness, in my suitcase, and made it through customs. On our last night there, the night the fun was supposed to go down, she drank too much during the day and pretty much passed out for the night. She felt bad and promised to make it up to me when we got home. Of course, the real world caught up to us, and it was several weeks before we were able to find the time and energy to play. One of the interesting things that came out of that pegging session is that I nearly came hands-free. I'd started on my stomach, and eventually, after she got tired, offered to ride her cowboy style with me on top. While doing that, I felt the urge to come without the benefit of stroking my cock, but my legs got tired and I couldn't quite get over the hump. Eventually, we ended with her jerking me off all over her gorgeous lingerie-clad tits. That was about 3 weeks ago. I told my wife how excited I was to be that close to the legendary hands-free orgasm, and that I didn't want to wait quite so long in between sessions. In the meantime, I took the next week to tie her to the bed and spent a good long hour or more intensely playing with the clit and G-spot with a number of vibes and toys, including the magic wand and the Enjoy Pure Wand. She had 5 very intense orgasms, all part of my plan to set the stage for the next time she would play with my ass. Last weekend was supposed to be the weekend where we played, but once again, kids and the real world caught up with us, and after thinking all day that there would be backdoor fun in store for me, she just didn't have the energy or motivation to play, so our plans were postponed yet another week. On Thursday, I texted her and told her I had a number of requests for this weekend, including 1, take your time, and that's all in caps. 2, feel free to use any toy you like. If you don't like it, I'll stop you. 3, in the beginning and until I request, keep the actual penis touching to a minimum. I'd really like to focus on the other sensations. 4, if you feel inclined, I totally grant you position to be bossy and take over. Dirty language is encouraged. 5, much like I was focusing on your G-spot a few weeks ago, I'd like you to focus on my P-spot. Take your time to explore. 6, and most importantly for me, please find time to flirt with me about this. It's important to me because it shows me that you're enjoying this, not just doing it for me. It makes it more fun for me, knowing it's fun for you. She texted back with a smiley face and said, I am looking forward to teasing you. Well, Saturday night arrived and we got busy in the house. I texted her while she was out running errands. Hey, sexy, I can't stop thinking about tonight, she replied. I'm looking forward to it. So after a day of family stuff and watching our team play football, we won, my wife and I retired to the bedroom. She slipped on a pair of satin lacy blue panties and a plain white men's tank top. The tank hugs her curves, and for as cheap as those things are, really turned me on. After kissing and cuddling for a few minutes, she put on a latex glove and lubed up her fingers and gently began prodding around my ass. I was laying on my back with my knees up and feet on the bed. We communicated very well and talked about what felt good, what pinched or felt sore. She tried different fingers, different angles, and eventually we found a position that felt really good. She has short fingers, so her middle finger was the only one long enough to reach deep. But I found if she laid her hand just right, I was able to bounce my hips up and down and literally fuck myself with her fingers. The feeling was quite intense. I could feel a sensation from her fingers in my ass, on my swollen prostate, all the way to the tip of my penis. I kept asking her if I was oozing fluid, but not a lot was coming out. It sure felt like it was. As the sensations grew, I felt something new, a feeling like I was going to come, but the muscles in my crotch were not contracting like a typical orgasm. I furiously bounced on her fingers, my chest rapidly contracting, my body clenching, all the sensations of an intense orgasm, without the squeezing in my cock and balls of an ejaculation. Intense waves of pleasure gripping my body. It's really hard to describe. But I had just had my first hands-free orgasm. No ejaculation, hardly any fluid came out, but I'll be damned if I didn't have one of the most intense orgasms I'd ever had. I had her pull her hand out, and I caught my breath. I told her what I was feeling, and told her I was pretty sure I'd had one, but I wanted her fingers in me more to see if we could do it again. So we lubed up her fingers and went back to work. And within a few minutes, much faster than I anticipated, she brought me back to the same intense feelings again. Now I was basking in the fact that not only had I discovered how to have hands-free orgasms, but now I was a guy who was multi-orgasmic as well. As I caught my breath, she asked me if I wanted to try the Enjoy Wand as well. Having used this several times for solo play, I eagerly agreed. She lubed up and sat upright between my legs, leaving room for me to set my feet in a number of positions. She slid the wand inside my ass, and we got back to work. I've begun thinking that my P-spot is a little deeper than normal, or maybe I just have no real way of telling how far into my ass toys need to go. But while she quickly hit my prostate with the wand, my best guess is that she was stroking the front of it. When I asked her to push the wand deeper, the feelings got even more intense. Having already had two orgasms, my body was primed for more, and within 5 to 10 minutes she found the perfect spot. Faster, firmer, slower, we worked the wand until it was just right, and she curled that fucking thing inside my ass and gave me another cumless orgasm. My legs quivering in shock, she pulled the wand from me. She leaned down and stroked my still soft cock. It quickly became fully aroused, and I pushed my hips up for her to take it in her mouth. After a few minutes of mouth-fucking, I asked her to stop. "I want more." "You do?" she asked. "I'm greedy. Now that I know I can have multiples like you do, I want more." "Aren't you the greedy little cum slut?" "Oh yes, sexy. Please make me come again." So back into my ass went the wand, pushing it back into the deepest part of me, stroking and teasing my prostate. Within a few short minutes, I felt the orgasm building again, building, building, and then it started to fade. "So close, deeper," I begged. "Fuck me like the little cum slut I am." She pushed deeper and my body exploded. As the orgasm within me built towards climax, I begged her, "Stroke my cock and make me come." My cock, only semi-aroused, sprang to life in her hand, with her left hand pushing the wand deep in my ass, right on the back side of my prostate, and her right hand stroking my cock. Waves of pleasure crashed over my body. I was coming so hard I had to force myself to breathe. My body locked down and came so hard. The sensations in my ass and torso were so intense. I barely remember feeling the sensations that came along with my cock shooting ropes of cum all over my body and hers. I was able to look up between my legs and see her face, excited to witness the incredible pleasure she was giving me. My fourth and final orgasm was the most intense one of all. I lay there in a daze as she rose from the bed and washed up. She brought me a warm towel, and I really had no desire to clean up. My brain scrambled, my body a wreck, in awe of what had just happened to me. Eventually, I got up and got ready for bed. I curled up into her and cuddled. I thanked her and told her that I had literally never felt anything like that in my life. I said, "Now I know what it's like when I make you come over and over." She laughed and replied, "Yeah, it's pretty great, isn't it?" After a night like that, it looks like she's due to get a multi-orgasmic night like mine very soon. Wow, so you tapped into the hands-free orgasm and then just went with it. That is amazing. I've had that happen before where I'm fucking a guy and he finally relaxes enough to have a hands-free orgasm. And then all of a sudden it's over and he's kind of expecting me to pull out, expecting me to stop. And I just keep moving slowly and slowly and I keep fucking him. And you can tell when you look at his face that he's starting to enjoy it again. And I say, just stay with it. Just stay with that and see what that feels like. And a lot of times you can get them to come again. And that's exactly what happened to you. Oh my God, 4 times. That's amazing. I love how you were greedy. That's so awesome. And congratulations on entering the world of multi-orgasmic situation, because it's pretty damn cool, isn't it? Oh my gosh, I love that part. Sounds like you two had a wonderful time. You finally got there, the Holy Grail. Thanks for sharing the story with us. It was really hot to read. Okay, this is a response from the couple in podcast number 142 that I played Pegging Celebration Time music for. Dear Ruby, although I'd only just written to you once soon after discovering you and your podcast, I thank you for reading and responding to my letter in podcast number 142 and playing the celebration pegging time music for me and my girlfriend. She listened to the podcast and loved it, by the way, chalking up my writing to you as an act of bravery and another reason she loves me. From that letter, you'll remember that this amazing woman I've been with for the past 3 years had no inhibitions about trying on harnesses at a local woman-owned sex toy store, which was thrilling for me to witness. You may also recall that we purchased a double-ended dildo, despite suspecting rightly that it would be too big for this first-timer. You agreed that the discomfort I felt on the initial use of it was to be expected and I would probably have to work up to it. You recommended that I do some solo play, which I admit I had not done prior to seeing my gorgeous girlfriend become only more so by putting on the harness and that big fake rubber cock. I found the sight of her simultaneously spectacular and terrifying, but rather than replay that first time once again, I'll just say I've taken your advice since, but only after going back to the store for new toys more my size. Although I went alone this time, I summoned my partner's fearlessness and accepted the offered help and input of the saleswoman. I settled on a medium Isadora dildo that would work well in the harness we already had, a beautiful Aurora glass wand, and a couple of bottles of lube. I also bought a copy of Dr. Jack Morin's book, Anal Pleasure and Health, which the staff highly recommended. Home alone later that night, I went to work, again feeling the bravery that put me on this path with my current partner. You were absolutely correct that it was a valuable step to get better acquainted with my body and what it's capable of. I loved both new toys and how they kept me on the edge of coming for several astounding minutes. I was left gasping. My girlfriend, knowing about my return visit to the toy store, was eager to know what, if anything, I had brought home with me. I teased her via text that both new items had proven to be winners. Fast forward to our use of them together. She was just as lovely and patient as the first time in warming me up with her tongue and fingers. I helped her lube up and ease in the glass wand and heard her surprised intake of breath as it sunk into the bulbous hilt. She stroked and loved on my cock vigorously as I pushed up and down on the wand, pressing into the mattress. Again, I was taken to that cliff's edge and held there, feeling like I could fall at any moment, but never doing so. Eventually, I told her I wanted to feel her control the movement and urged her to put on the harness and new dildo, and she did so with sexy enthusiasm. By then, I had found that I feel most comfortable and connected to her by lying on my back with my thighs raised over hers. When she started thrusting, slow at first, until she was vigorously pounding the full length of her purple cock inside me, the sensations were so new and intense. She continued this for several minutes, the whole time with me trying to keep eye contact with her, while feeling both wanting desperately for it not to end and wanting it to stop immediately. I really think it was the relinquishment of control, giving to her the kind of power I alone had exercised in our lovemaking until that moment, that I both embraced and feared. She eventually eased off, exited, and then straddled me until I came, wave after wave after wave, inside her for what felt like an eternity. The night didn't end without the use of a much larger glass dildo on her. It managed to reach and trigger her in a G-spot orgasm, the strength of which, she said, was like nothing she had experienced before. I feel I do my girlfriend a disservice by describing our adventurous, rapturous, and often acrobatic lovemaking in terms that are less than the passionate poetry come to life that it is. But I know she loves and trusts me as much as I now can demonstrate how much I love and trust her in return. She's an extraordinary woman and lover who has awakened in me this desire I didn't know I harbored before meeting her 3 years ago. Thanks again for listening to my humble brag, and thank you, Ruby, for demystifying and promoting this amazing sexual adventure, one ass at a time. Sweet. So you did some self-exploration. Isn't that an amazing thing? There's an element of relaxation, I think, that comes into play with solo exploration that many times is a challenge to duplicate, replicate, when you have your partner with you. And ideally, you get to that point where you do relinquish the control. I loved that word, you relinquish, because that's kind of what it's all about. I struggle with that sometimes when I am wanting to be more responsive with my partner. So yes, relinquishing control. But nice job going back to the toy store and getting some cool things to play with yourself. And it sounds like you two are off and running in the pegging world. Thanks for reporting in, sharing again, and I wish you both the best. Have fun. Okay, this letter is from the guy who wrote in with like the total figging tease and basically said, okay, my mistress has to give me permission. This was in podcast number 143. Hey, Ruby, sorry for not following up. Life and man flu got in the way. The evening did progress. My significant other Skyped me later that evening, and once I had done the dishes, etc., I was rewarded. She told me to lay on my back and relax. She told me to slowly insert the now freezing cold ginger plug. What a delight. We talked dirty for a while, and after 5 minutes or so, I started getting a rapid warming sensation. I won't go into too many details of how our phone sex went. Sorry to continue to tease, but there are some things that should be kept private. Going from freezing cold to rapid warming to the heavenly tingling burn was quite something. But it's a lot of effort, and honestly, I get the same sensation from Durex Tingle Lube. Maybe not quite as intense, but certainly a lot easier, and I can use that on my regular Vibe butt plug. My significant other isn't into anal play on herself, which is fine, but we did have some leftover ginger root for play on her return. I soaked a peeled sliver in ice water for an hour or so, using I like the taste as an excuse for having it in the bedroom. I got out the ropes and went to town on her. After I tied her arms to the headboard and bound her gorgeous tits just the way she likes, I got out our Hitachi and started teasing her with it. She reads me like a book, and after a few minutes she asked for the slice. Within a few minutes of holding the ginger slice on her clit and applying pressure to it with the Hitachi, she was wriggling in pure ecstasy. The ginger was a hit for her, at least. In conclusion, I think the ginger root will probably become a constant in our fridge from now on. Will we go to the effort of making a fig again? Maybe, maybe not. It does take a fair bit of preparation, and we can achieve similar results with Tingle Lube. Will we use slices on her clit or the end of my cock? Abso-fucking-lutely. My turn to be tied up next. Thanks for the heads up. And thank you for the update. Thank you for finishing the tease story. I do appreciate that. And I totally respect that there are some things that need to stay private. I really get that. So I'm always honored when all you people write in and tell me like the details. Oh my God, they're really hot and they're really personal. So I'm always honored when we get to hear any details of a person's relationship, of their sexual interactions. So yeah, ginger, yay for her, eh for you. I get it. It's not for everybody, I imagine. I still have yet to try it, so, one of these days. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this was a message I got from a guy on FetLife. A little over a week ago, I came out to my wife as a lover of pegging, anal play, and female domination. I even told her about my past experiences in fisting. As the saying goes, in for a penny. For the duration of our marriage, this has been a solo exercise on my part, drawing fondly on memories of my past life as a fetishist. I thought it was something I could put aside, but as time passed, I knew that I could not keep this from her any longer. Long story short, it went better than I could have imagined. After dispelling her initial concerns, which were typical and in line with those addressed in episode 112, she expressed her willingness to explore. To my astonishment, this revelation has brought us closer than ever. She even revealed a couple of things she has been afraid to tell me. She is a shy introvert, and I do not expect this to be easy for her, but I am willing to move slowly. I figure we have a lifetime to explore. She played with my ass for the first time on Friday, using only her fingers. Even though the act was tame relative to past experience, knowing it was her made the experience the most exhilarating of my life. I write first to thank you for your website and podcast. Both were extremely helpful over the past week and played a role in my revelation. Second, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Fieldo or any alternative product that you may recommend. My wife has a sensitive clit, and I would really like for her to derive physical pleasure from pegging. I have read elsewhere that despite the strapless moniker, the Fieldo works best used with a harness. Can you recommend one that will work well? Well, first of all, congratulations on telling her what you want. I am actually not at all surprised that it brought you closer than ever, because that's what happens. You do the vulnerable reveal, you tell the person something that allows them to know you on a deeper level, and that's exactly what happens, is you become closer and the intimacy deepens. So congratulations for having the courage to do that, because that is an amazing accomplishment. Good on you. So then, yay, you guys add some ass play. Totally. And I loved how you said, you know, even though it's tame compared to past experience, just that knowing that she was doing it just made it so freaking exciting for you. The experience, the most exhilarating of my life, were the words that you used. Okay, so let's talk about equipment. Fieldo is not the best double for a number of reasons. The Fieldo has been reviewed to be too stiff. In other words, the connection that connects the longer end to the bulb that goes in the woman is pretty rigid, and so the angle is fixed, if you will. Now, the Fieldo was actually designed for use woman on woman, okay? So the angle that is present in the Fieldo does not necessarily lend itself to pegging in very many positions because of the rigidness. So that's something to take into consideration. That is in the reviews, something that people complain about. Also, just the firmness itself. A lot of people complain that the toy is just simply too hard, too rigid. Not just too rigid in terms of won't bend, but literally too hard and not as comfortable as it could be. And last but not least, there's also some complaints that the vibe is kind of worthless. Well, the little tiny, you know, stupid bullet vibes that take the watch batteries or whatever and have hardly any power, of course they're going to be worthless. But also the placement of the vibe in the Fieldo is not really optimum. There's a little too much silicone between where you put the vibe and where it's supposed to go against the clit, which, you know, if there was less silicone there, that would actually maximize that. So those are the criticisms. One of the other big players in the doubles game is the Fun Factory Share, and that one has the following complaints. The bulb side that goes into the woman is too big and can be uncomfortable for a fair number of women. It's too floppy. In other words, that connector point that we just talked about with the Fieldo that connects the larger part with the smaller part, the dildo itself with the Share is pretty heavy, and so it's kind of floppy is what people describe it as. And there is no vibe option on the Fun Factory Share. The Fun Factory did come out with a vibe option double, and the thing about that one is they use their own proprietary size for a bullet vibe. Here's why I think that was a mistake. It's because the best bullet vibe out there is without a doubt the Wii Vibe Tango. It's waterproof. It is rechargeable. It has kind of a deep rumble, which is quite an accomplishment for a small vibe. It has like 8 different patterns. It's the best and rumbliest and most powerful bullet vibe, I believe, that is on the market today. So if you're going to have a toy that holds a bullet vibe, that is the bullet vibe you want. Well, you can't put that in the Fun Factory Share vibe because it's a proprietary size and it doesn't fit. They wanted to use theirs, so that's why I'm not voting for that one either. And that is all a long-winded explanation to say that the one that I recommend is the Fuse Tango. Fused is spelled F-U-Z-E. The Fuse Tango was actually designed to take all of the best parts of the existing doubles and make them into one toy and leave all of the parts that didn't work behind, and I think that they did a really good job of that. The vibe placement is excellent. There's not much silicone between where that vibe fits in and the clitoral surface that gets pressed against the lady bits. The flexibility is just right, so it lends itself to variability in terms of being able to use that for a wide variety of positions. And the texture itself is less firm than the Fieldo, and it's just right. You can either get it in a slick texture or a matte texture, depending on which you like the best. So if you're going to use a double, that's the one I would recommend. Since you two are starting out, what I usually recommend is not a double, because that adds another added level of complexity. And I know you faithful listeners of the podcast are so tired of hearing this, but I'm going to keep saying it until everybody hears it. Because who knows who's going to drop into these podcasts right in the middle of everything, right? And they're going, hey, I want a double, and we're just going to start this, and I want her to get something out of it too. And I do my routine, so feel free to skip forward a little bit if you're tired of hearing this. But back to the man who wrote in. Here's the deal. You get that added level of complexity. What you're ignoring here is one really important thing, and that's that there's a learning curve with women. Women were not born with a cock. We don't know how to use it. We don't realize what it takes to use one. So the learning curve is pretty steep, because actually fucking someone takes grace, strength, endurance, balance, and multitasking. It takes all those things, and women usually don't realize that. But the most important thing is we've never done it before, so we're kind of awkward about it. And we have to learn how to fuck somebody. So if you go into this formula expecting that she's going to get off too, well, you're ignoring the learning curve. Sometimes it takes a while to learn how to fuck somebody, and then you can actually do the, okay, now let's work on having an orgasm. I think the best compromise in this situation, which I recommend highly, is another one of the Fuse products, which is one of their single dildos. So it's like a flare-based single. The cool thing about these is that the base of them are specially designed so that it fits perfectly into the vulvar area, and it has a vibe option, and that vibe option can perfectly fit the Wee Vibe Tango. So the two of those together, you know, she can actually tell you if she wants, keep the vibe out of there in the beginning because I'm still learning how to do this, if that's how she feels. Or she might be one of those women that's like, hey, bring it, because I'm a natural, right? So any one of those situations could be possible. You get to choose which toy to buy, but those are the ones that I recommend that work the best. Now, if you get the W, you absolutely need a harness. The myth of the strapless strap-on is indeed exactly that. It's a myth. I'll put links to the toys that I mentioned in the Linkgram, and I will also put a link to the article, The Truth About Strapless Strap-Ons. What harness do I recommend? The two that I recommend the very most are the spare parts harnesses. There are three that are awesome. There's one that's the basic one, that's the Jacques, and then there's two that are really, really feminine and are panty style with garters and everything. So if your partner is someone who really enjoys that femininity aspect, or you like it and that sounds like something that's cool, consider one of those. Those two are called the Sasha and the Bella. Or if you both like leather, there is nothing better than an Aslan leather harness. That will allow you to strap down whatever toy you have tightly so that it actually feels like a part of you. There is no give like the Jacques harnesses, because the Jacques harnesses are wonderful. They're really well made. They're washable. They're totally awesome. And they have about a quarter inch of give because they're elastic. They're fabric. They give a little bit. It's not a problem, but it's a real distinct difference when you strap on that leather and cinch it down, and there is no movement. The leather is soft, it's luscious, it's really flexible, and the two styles that they sell, Aslan leather, that I recommend are either the Jaguar or the Minx. You don't mention anything about body shapes, but I always like to point out that the Minx Aslan leather harness would be the one if you have a full-figured partner, because it has a corset back, and it is really good for women that have big bottoms and big thighs. It fits them really, really well. It gives them the added stability, and it just works perfectly. So those are my equipment recommendations. Have fun exploring, one finger at a time, slowly, with your shy, introverted partner. And let me know when we can play the music for you, because I really look forward to it. Have fun. Alrighty, we're going to leave it there today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Also, you can find my work at pegging101.com, where you will find informational pegging articles only and no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. And it is available on the evil iTunes. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any of these sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your purchase. And last but never least, please send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. There is no question that is too silly, or too simple, or too strange, because everybody's going to learn along with you when I answer your questions, so don't be shy about it. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.